have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's Gospel News. Sidney Poitier was a native of Cat Island, Bahamas. Although born 2 months prematurely in Miami, Florida, during a visit by his parents, Evelyn and Reginald James Poitier, he grew up in poverty, the son of a farmer, with his father also driving a cab in Nassau. Sidney had little formal education. At the age of 15, he was sent to Miami to live with his brother. In the U.S., he experienced racial divides, a great shock to a boy coming from a society with the majority of the people of African descent. At the age of 18, he went to New York, did menial jobs, and slept in a bus terminal toilet. A brief stint in the Army as a worker at the Veterans Hospital was followed by more menial jobs in Harlem. An impulsive audition at the American Negro Theater was rejected so forcefully that Poitier decided to spend the next 6 months overcoming his accent and improving his performing skills. On the second try, he was accepted. Spotted in rehearsal by a casting agent, he won a small part in the Broadway production Mrs. Strata, for which he earned good reviews. By the end of 1949, he was having to choose between leading roles on stage and an offer to work for Darryl Zanuck in the film No Way Out in 1950. His performance as a doctor treating a white bigot got him plenty of notice and led to more roles. 7 years later, after turning down several projects that he considered demeaning, Poitier got a number of roles that catapulted him into the category rarely, if ever, achieved by an African-American man at that time, the leading man. One of these films was The Defiant One of 1958. It earned Poitier his first Academy Award nomination as Best Actor. 5 years later, he won the Oscar for Lilies of the Field in 1963 and was the first African-American male to win for a leading role. He remained active on stage and screen as well as in the civil rights movement. His role in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner of 1967 and To Sir With Love, also in 1967, were landmarks in helping break down some social barriers between blacks and whites. Poitier's talent, conscience, integrity, and inherent likability placed him on equal footing with his white counterparts of the day. He took on directing and producing chores in the 1970s, achieving success in both arenas. In 1963, he was awarded an honorary knighthood of the Order of the British Empire in 1974 as an honorary knight. His Stir Crazy 1980 was his highest grossing film directing by a black filmmaker until Scary Movie in 2000, directed by Kenan Ivory Wayans almost 20 years later. His honorary doctorate degree from Shippensburg University of Pennsylvania. He spoke Russian fluently. He was the first black actor to place autograph, hand, and footprints in the cement of Grauman's Chinese Theater in June of 1967. He was named number 22 greatest actor on the 50 greatest screen actors legends by the American Film Institute. Was nominated for Broadway's 1960 Tony Award for Best Actor Dramatic for A Raisin in the Sun, a role that was recreated in the film version of the same name, A Raisin in the Sun, 1961. His performance as Virgil Tibbs in the Heat of the Night in 1967 was ranked number 55 on Premiere Magazine's 100 Greatest Performances of All Time in 2006. That performance was also ranked at number 20 on Premiere Magazine's 100 Greatest Movie Characters of All Time. He was a prostate cancer survivor, has 4 grandchildren and 2 great-granddaughters. He was awarded a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on February 1, 1994. He was also appointed an ambassador of the Bahamas to Japan in April of 1997. He was a board of directors member of the Walt Disney Company. He was the father of 6 girls. He was a longtime friend of fellow actor and activist Harry Belafonte. Sidney Poitier passed away on January 6, 2022 in Los Angeles. He will surely be missed. That's your gospel news this week and your tribute to actor, activist, pioneer Sidney Poitier. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find all my outlets on my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your Gospel News reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
And as always, you can hear my good friend Nina Taylor along with my beautiful wife, Minister Sharon Richard, right here on The Pastor's Corner. We want to say good evening to you, and also to you. We bless God for the opportunity to be in service to you on this given day. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's a day we've chosen to rejoice and to be glad in. And we come to you live and in living color just outside of Richmond, Virginia. I'm on the road again. So I'm going to need a lot of assistance and help from those who may be with me. Tonight, we're going to make it open mic night. Whatever we want to talk about, whatever we talk about, whatever the topic comes up to be. And I'll tell you why, folks, because believe it or not, I know we started something last week, and I have no clue what it was. And Sister Kimmy Kim would get on my case if I told her I didn't even bother to listen to my show to find out where we were. That's my mistake this week, but it's been a rather busy week, and I'm not going to cry or complain about it. I'm just going to bless God for this, the gift called today, and live it to the fullest. Meanwhile, let's check and see who's here, and let's start off, as always, my brother from another mother, always with me, and sometimes even in his absence. We just want to say welcome to Apostle Irvin Whitlow. Are you with us today, sir?
Well, the Lord bless you, sir. Thank God for another day, another week. We give God praise, honor, and glory. And you were talking about last week, and I just want to have a question. What does the new you look like in 2022?
Is that what we were talking about? Wow. That's why I could not remember. Because I don't know what the new me looks like in 22. But let me get the rest of the crew in here. Maybe we'll just put that up and do shop talk on that. Listen, my other brother from another mother hails from the great state of Connecticut, the city of New Haven, to be exact. He is the chief prelate of Volume of the Book International Deliverance Ministries and the pastor, senior pastor of a Morning Star church, which happens to be in New Haven, who's actually celebrating their 67th anniversary this week. Come on and let's welcome in Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Okay, I heard no hand clap. That means he's not here. Okay, we can let that one go. Well, let me find out. I'll start in Indianapolis, Indiana, to see if our dear friend, Pastor Anna Henderson, has she made it in tonight? Are you with us?
I am. Oh, taste and see if the Lord is good. And blessed is the man that trusted in him. I'm so glad to be a part of the podcast on tonight.
Amen. Welcome. Anyway, let me go down into the Peach State, and I'm going to make two more stops, one in Atlanta. As a matter of fact, both of them are in Atlanta. Let me first find out, is Apostle Felicia Flight here? Are you with us tonight, my dear? Okay, silence says she's not. I know she wasn't feeling well the last time I spoke with her, so I just pray God that her health will restore and be what it's supposed to be. The other individual I want to check on, I know she works and sometimes is able to be with us. I don't want to overlook Sister Paula Henderson. Minister Paula Henderson, are you with us tonight? Two down and almost none to go. Sister Cheryl, are you with us out of St. Louis, Missouri, I believe, if I'm not mistaken? Nope. Okay. Last but by no means least, she is the producer of the show. My dear sister, my baby sister, a very good friend whom I love very dearly. Let us all say hello and welcome to Dr. Kimmy Robinson. How are you, sis?
I'm doing great. This is the day that the Lord has made. And once again, we're going to be glad in it. And I'm ready for this wonderful discussion on tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen. And I thank you so much, Apostle Irvin Whitlow for reminding me, because I spent the better part of the latter portions of the afternoon. I had to minister with Morning Star this evening at 7 o'clock, and I tried my best to try to figure out what it was we talked about last week, and I do apologize. I didn't even bother to listen to the show. I would at least go in and take a listen to the show, but I didn't do it this time. But nonetheless, the new you in 22, let's do this. Pastor Henderson, if you'll be so kind as to pray us in. Apostle, I don't know. I'm not even going to put a scripture to it right now. You know, I'm going to, we can go over to Philippians and talk about, you know, forgetting those things behind. You know where I'm talking about. We could talk there. We can mention them. We don't necessarily have to read them. So if you pray us in, Pastor Henderson, we'll be so excited and delighted to move forward in the things pertaining to tonight's show.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, glory, and honor, Father God. We thank you, oh God, for how you've blessed us all day long and you allowed us to come together again on this podcast. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for each listener, Father God, each one that has tuned in, Father God. We ask, Lord, that you would have your way, Father God. Open our ears, oh God, that we will hear something tonight that will take our journey further in you, Father God, that we will, oh God, be perfected, oh God, in your divine will. We thank you, hallelujah, for everything you've done, everything you're doing, everything you shall do. Even now, Father God, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. As I said, and again, I can't thank you enough, Apostle Whitlow, for bringing back to my remembrance. Things are starting to snap back in place. It's been a rather difficult day, folks, but I am so not going to let this get to me because, I mean, with every venture in life, each new day brings a new set of adventures. And see, the old me would have fussed, cussed, carried on. Well, I don't know about the cussing part, but we would have fussed and carried on and been frustrated and just ready to just give up, throw in the towel and say, the heck with this. I quit. I don't want to do this anymore. And it's just so easy to do that. But I asked the question last week, what does the new you look like in 2022? Anybody want to start off and start sharing what it's been like? I know we're only into the second week of the new month of the new year. This is the 13th day, and it seems like this day, these last two or three days have been pressing for yours truly. And I'll talk about my ventures in a little bit, but let me hear from you. Let's start with you, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. I know you started off this year having to battle illness, and God gave you the victory. Can you share with us what 22 is looking like for you so far?
22 is looking fabulous. It's just another distraction, but I don't focus on that. So I'm continuing to support a high calling mark within Christ Jesus. 22 is going to be fabulous.
Okay.
Coming back, I am determined because I'm so reminded, the bigger the lesson, the bigger the trials. And so, yeah, uh-huh. I was down for 10 days with COVID, but all good. It's all good. And I am really, really happy just saying on today that God heals. And yes, I'm vaccinated, and I still got it. And no, I won't get the booster. I'm leaning towards
nope.
No. But for the most part, I'm just grateful, you know, to be among friends and breaking bread about the Lord on a weekly basis is a blessing. Living on purpose is a blessing. Having an appetite. Opportunity to have a sound mind. Mental illness is real. To know who your name is and where you going and coming back home in your own mind, you know how precious that is. So I'm just grateful for those things, the activities of my limb. I got a little bit of food on the table. I got a little clothes. I got a, you know, car. I mean, what more do we need? Because I'm still reminded, we only have 3 days, today, tomorrow, and yesterday. But God tells us to focus on today and let tomorrow worry about itself. So I'm just grateful to be reminded that I only have 3 days, today, yesterday, and tomorrow. And I'm going to focus on today. So today, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will continue on rejoicing. Yes, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yes, devil, you have no power. And then he'll come back, you know. But I'm just grateful, you know. I just love talking about the Lord. So my 22 for right now is fabulous, wonderful, and blessed.
All right. Well, Pastor Anna Henderson, starting the new year off into the 13th day, what does it look like so far in your side of the fence?
Amen. Grateful and thankful, you know. Just being thankful for another year, being thankful that God has sustained us thus far, and just giving him praise. Finding myself in a position of a posture of just prayer, saying before him even more so in this new year. That's my desire, is just to really take my prayer level to another place, and my commitment to reading the word to another place. So, you know, just putting my thoughts more on him, for the Lord, and what he wants from us as his people. And so that's my desire. So I've just been stretching myself out a little bit more in prayer, stretching myself out a little bit more in reading, and also just taking inventory to make sure that I'm keeping a thankful heart in between it all, just making sure that my heart, putting a center and making sure that I'm staying thankful and focused in on him.
Amen. Well, Apostle, it seems like I saved you for last or next to last. And, of course, I know with all the exciting things that's going on in your life, I know you can't wait to share with us 2022. How is it looking for you so far?
Well, I want to make sure that I don't miss this. Do you want to know what the year looks like for me, or what I look like this year?
I want to know both.
Well, so then the year is for me is advantageous. So please understand, this year for me is going to be an advantageous year. It's going to be for me
okay. It's
going to be a year of breakthrough. Yes, for me this year is going to be a year where dream comes true. That's what the year looks like for me. But what do I look like this year? I look like one busy preaching something other, because already my schedule is starting to fill up. I'm looking like one busy somebody. Every time you turn around, I'm on a plane heading somewhere. I'm preaching somewhere, and people are being delivered somewhere because God is using me to make an impact. And by saying that, let me go this route. What the Lord has been dealing with me about for the past few days is that he's no longer waiting on people to get themselves together. He's now pushing people into the place that they will be where they need to be. Oh, please
say
catch that. Please catch that. Yeah. What God is doing this year, God is, because we've been talking for the longest time, I'm waiting on the Lord. So, no, what God is doing is God is pushing you into the place where things will manifest in your life. In other words, I don't know if you can think back to when you had a tube of toothpaste, and you knew that you had some in there, but it was the last bit. And so what you had to do is you had to find all kind of devices to squeeze that from the bottom all the way to the top so it could still be used. What God is doing is he's squeezing what's in the bottom to the top so it can be used, so he can move you into the next dimension, because he's not going to allow anything to be left over. He's not going to allow anything to be wasted. That's why I'm telling people that this year you don't waste your oil, because your assignment is not for everybody. I'm just talking what the year looked like for me. The year looked good for me, but what I look like this year, I look better than I did the past 10 years. And I'm gonna stop right there before I start preaching, because I ain't trying to preach.
No, I don't want you to stop, because I'm appreciating what you're saying, because like yourself, the year and...
Okay. Pastor Apostle Smith, Bishop-elect dropped, so... You should continue on until he comes back, if you don't Yes.
I am so gotta stop using these cheap cell phones. They just never work out.
Hold on. Did you call me Apostle Smith woman?
Oh,
no.
Lord. Are we about to have a fight?
No. I said Bishop Elette is off. No.
But you called me Apostle.
No. I didn't. I'm sorry if I did, but I really thought I said Apostle Urban Whitlow.
No.
Are you sure I didn't say Apostle?
Okay.
Now I'm going to ask my sister, Pastor Henderson, did I say Apostle Urban Whitlow?
Yes.
Oh, I did.
No.
You know.
See?
No, you didn't.
Yes.
See?
But it's okay.
See?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I do apologize.
Well, listen, let me bring this in, because I mean, I know we make mistakes, and you know, I'll put a Band-Aid on this. Okay, you're not that bad looking if she called you Apostle Smith. So anyway,
I really thought I said Apostle
Urban
Whitlow. I'm sorry.
Let me press, because we're covering menial stuff at the moment. We're not going to be on too long tonight, maybe about an hour. I'm just really trying to pretend like I know what I'm doing. But the bottom line is simply this. I ask these questions simply because of the fact that God has put us all in a unique position to be able to, you know, to move forward. A lot of us don't recognize that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and whoso eats the fruit thereof, whoever loves it shall eat the fruit thereof. And on multiple occasions, we talk ourselves out of blessings. We put ourselves in a position where we miss out on things. And so when I ask what the year 2022 looks like for you, I'm asking for the sake of what have you said, what have you put in the atmosphere, what have you placed in the stratosphere that God can use so that he can further your cause. God does have a plan for each and every one of us. We have heard time and time again scripture out of Jeremiah 29:11. And God knows the plans he has for us, but it's not a question of does God know the plans. Do we know the plan that God has for us? Too many times we miss God's plan for our lives because we're too busy trying to plan our lives. And God is not looking for you to not necessarily make a plan, but what God is doing is he wants you to include him. The Bible says when the Lord is in your plans, when God, have a great day, ma'am. I'm sorry. I'm on a radio show right now. I'm sorry. No problem. You're good. Say hi. Everybody say hi to, what's your name? Everybody say hi to Miss Meg. Anyway, I'm inside trying to get something to eat. I've seen no food today, okay? It's a good thing because maybe my body needed to be disciplined. But what I'm trying to drive home is God has set plans in order for each and every one of us. And sometimes we have a tendency to throw a monkey wrench in the motor work and the plans that God has set for each of us by not obeying and doing what God has called us to do. And so now we find ourselves scrambling and trying to find where it is that we're supposed to be and what it is that we ought to be doing. We're in a day and age, and especially in the year 2022, I believe it was you, Apostle Whitlow, that preached a message about double chaos about a week or two ago, if I'm not mistaken. And in that message, he made mention of the fact that not only is God going to cause the chaos, the chaos is going to be double, but not for your bad, but for your good. Because where the scripture says the enemy will come in one way and you shall cause him to flee seven ways, God is setting us up to show us off. We got to get in a position where God can use each and every one of us. See, I got to ask this question because a lot of us say we want to be used by God. But when adversity comes, when trial comes, when tribulation comes, when turmoil comes, when chaos comes, when those things that we're not comfortable with come, all of a sudden we all want to bail. We want to jump ship and we want to run away. Talk to me, somebody. Has anybody been down that road? How come we haven't learned yet that it's through our adversity that we gain maturity in the things pertaining to godliness? Is that a true statement? Has anybody found that to be true? And if so, how?
Well, Well, here's the thing. We just live in a time where people do not like challenges. They don't like that which is going on. See, because many of us don't want the best brought out of us. Because now, in the process of what we find out our flaws, we find out our shortcomings, we find out
Don't go too far. Stop right there. Hold right there, Apostle, please. Please hold right there, because you said something just now. I don't want people to miss it. Say that again. Not again. Again.
We don't want people when we go through challenges, we don't want people to see our faults and our flaws, because we want it to appear that we are perfect. And the reality is we are not perfect. We don't even want to get to a place of maturity. I'm realizing that people still want pity parties. People still want guilt trips. They still try to feel some kind of way for them, because why? They don't want to walk in the fullness of what they're called to, so when they're challenged to go into that fullness, they have an excuse. That's what it boils down to.
Anybody else want to add to that? Because I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head when we're talking about what does 2022 look like for you. We have to understand. We have to come to face those challenges. We have to face those flaws. We gotta face those shortcomings. We can go in the Bible and talk about men like Moses, who turned around and, because he had a speech impediment, felt like he wasn't usable by God by virtue of the fact that he had a speech impediment. We can talk about a man like Saul, who God wanted to use, but because Saul was sort of a chicken, Saul hid among the stuff, and there's some noise, background noise there, Sister Kimmy. Is there anything we can do about that? Anything we can do about that background noise? I appreciate it, because I'm not good at screaming over the top of noise. You know, I'm noticing some things about myself personally. You know, I know I'm 63 going on 64, and I guess I'm a little too young to be like this, but I'm starting to develop a low tolerance level for a lot of stuff, and I'm not even understanding why. People will come at me with all kinds of ridiculousness, and the minute they show up with it, just as quickly as they got there, I'm ready to tell them to... Well, you know, y'all know where I'm going with that, so I'm going to stop right there. Okay, now, where was I at? Okay, now, Pastor Henderson, let me ask you, from a woman's perspective, and I'm saying from a woman's perspective, you can answer this too, Dr. Robinson, if you feel like it. Many people, women in particular, are looking at 2022 as the year they're going to meet their Mr. Right, their Boaz, the love of their life, their soulmate, and all those other little cliches that we come up with. In looking back over the last, say, 5 to 7 years, do you see anything different this year that might make a difference and cause such a thing to come into fruition? Either of you, answer the question. I hope you were listening, Kimmy. Ladies?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I was just having a conversation with one of my good friends. If he comes, fine. If he doesn't, fine. I will continue on. If he doesn't, fine. I will still continue on gleaning in my field and focusing on what God has called me, because, you know, sometimes my time is not what God's time is, and I trust his time over my time. So I've just been focusing on, you know, the three things that's important: God, family right now, and work. Family is inclusive as well as family and friends. You know, I really believe in building relationships and continue on. So those are my priorities, and whatever is in those subgroups of those two things will come to pass. But God is my priority. Do I fall short of, you know, pleasing God? Absolutely. But I don't allow my, you know, my falling to get the best of me. So I live a repentant lifestyle, and I have peace. I love my peace. I'm with you, Bishop. I love my peace, so I don't have a lot of tolerance. I don't have any patience for mess. You get to a certain age, and you're like, you see the signs, like, I ain't dealing with that. You know, it's called wisdom. You know, I value my time better than I did in my earlier time, walking with the Lord. I just don't have time for mess, you know, so I'm focusing on God, family, and, you know, ministry work and whatever is after that will fall into their perspective places. So if he comes, fine. If he does not, fine. I will be okay. Because,
all
you
right,
know,
well,
I love making marriage meaningful. And one thing I have learned in that particular segment hosted by Apostle Urban Whitlow is that God has to be first. And I cannot date someone who doesn't have God first in their life. He may not be as, you know, as more mature than me, or he may be more mature than me, but he
mm-hmm.
must have some type of relationship with God. You know, it has to be the standard for me. So with that being said, I value peace.
Okay. Pastor Henderson?
And then,
did you go to sleep? There you go.
Amen. My focus, I guess, right now is just really focusing on ministry and God's word. But he said he gives you the desires of your heart, so you just stay busy doing what God has called you to do. And so for me, that's just my focus point right now is just
mm-hmm.
Allowing God to use me and in the way that he wants to use me. And in the space of all of that, whatever happens in between that, we say amen, and to God be the glory.
Okay. Now, Apostle Whitlow, I got to stop saving you for last, but I like you. I like your insight into things. You mentioned flaws, and you mentioned shortcomings, and you mentioned our desire and ability to hide these things. Why is it that we want to hide our flaws? Why is it that we want to hide our shortcomings? Why is it that we want to hide our mistakes? I mean, we read in the scriptures where Paul wrote, go ahead.
In many cases, we want to appear perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just, why and reason we want to appear perfect? Because 99% of us, especially who are of the Afrocentric culture, are perfectionists.
Mm-hmm.
So because we are perfectionists, it tells us that we have to be perfect. Not that
uh-huh.
we have to be excellent, but perfect. And so a flaw says I'm not as perfect as people thought I was. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the greatest things we have learned to do is we have learned to put on a show. We have learned how to look in front of people. We have learned how to talk in front of people. We have learned how to maneuver in front of people. We have a way of making people think we are wealthy and we don't have 2 cents to our name. We have a
My
way
God.
Of making people think that everybody knows us and can't nobody stand us. Oh, please hear me now. I'm talking to somebody. We have a way of presenting ourselves as if there's nothing wrong with us, but we don't want people to know that our breath really stinks. Our hearts are just as terrifying as bad words. Come on, I want to be real with somebody here. We don't want people to know these things that, you know, if you take off our shoes and you'll see that our toes ain't done. We don't want nobody to know that because why? Because then that we would appear as just a mere human. So that's why we don't want people to know those things. Because we want people to think that we are superhuman. We want people to think that we are better than everyone else or everything else. And the unfortunate thing is, it's a real lie. That's all. It's a
wow.
lie.
All right. Anybody want to respond to that?
Amen. Amen, because we do have people who say they have it all together. You know, I'm still reminded, even Jesus, I know this may be a statement that some people may not agree, but I still remember Jesus asking God if he can pass this cup from him as well. And this is the Son of God. He was going through some things. So if he can go through some things and he was showing us his human side, what makes us think that it's okay to hide him? Because your trials and your tribulations are meant to be shared to others so that they can see that you're not boasting in you, you're boasting in the Lord. So when people have this superficial life that everything is peachy and all the sun is shiny, even in at nighttime, and God is good, 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 and what a great God, what a good, but there are going to be times that it's challenging. I mean, that's why Psalms 23 is this. That is why Psalms 1 is this. That is why a lot
all
of
right.
the wonderful apostles, I love my Paul. Paul is one of my favorite apostles. I mean, he wrote about pain and struggle. David, I mean, Peter, I mean, it's tough out here. If that wasn't the case, why would Jesus have to suffer? He didn't have to suffer.
Amen.
He could have just said, you know, I'm going to live this wonderful life that my God has created. I don't want to be sinners. Why he has to me do this? But, you know, I just love the fact that it says in John 3:17, that Jesus came to the earth that the earth may be saved. He didn't come here to condemn us. And so that's why people are living the way they live, because they are insecure and they want people to think that they have it all together, and some of them are condemning others. Because when you understand
wow.
who you are as a servant in the Lord, you don't need to showcase that you're better than people. You're going to serve people. You're going to help people. You're going to have a heart of servitude and a heart of compassion, and you're going to care for those who are in need. So those who are tend to be so overly on the top, a lot of them are they condemn people. So, yeah.
Well, you know, and I appreciate all that you just put out there, because, and I'm going to be a bit vulnerable today and a bit transparent, because I'm one of those that wants to appear perfect, like I got it all together. And you said it, Apostle, I'm going to simply say it. One that looks like he has everything that he possibly needs, and yet I experience moments, and I'm going through that right now, even as we're doing this show, moments of loneliness, moments of not depression, but a minor despondency, and I'm trying to understand, God, this late in life, why am I experiencing these things? Why do I sometimes feel like this? I got a wife that loves me, children that love me, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and I don't have great-greats. Good Lord, please don't let me have great-greats yet. Just stick to the greats. Anyway, friends, family, and things of that nature, and yet you have those moments. And I tend to think that it's in those moments that God is really trying to shape you to be whom he actually needs you to be. This is just earnest one-on-one, and I could be so way off in what I'm saying. And if I am, y'all, please just pray for me. And if you have something to encourage or correct me with, just bring it on, because, even this today, I thought seriously about not doing the show today. I seriously thought about not doing the show. And I don't like feeling like that, because now I'm being selfish. And what do I mean by that? If 2022 is going to be a year of prosperity, I've got to understand I've been blessed to be a blessing. I know, and we all got to have our time, our me time, and our moments where we can just open up to God. And, you know, if you got to kick and scream, you know, I'm not a mountain person, but if I were to be that type of person, I would find myself going off into the mountains somewhere and just get by myself. You remember that movie, Why Did I Get Married Too? Remember when Jill Scott found out that her husband was cheating on her with her best friend? She cracks him over the head with a bottle, and she takes off in the car, and the sheriff finds her, and she asked the question, did I kill him? And she said, no, just badly dead. She says, I should have killed him. I mean, have you ever had a moment like that? Anybody? Oh, boy. Hello?
Well, we're not allowed to we're not allowed to say certain things so that we don't incriminate ourselves. So on that note, I'm going to plead the fifth. Because I don't want to incriminate
myself. Yes, I have had those moments. I have. Yeah.
Well,
that's part of human nature. Because
yes,
you know why?
Is.
You know why? Because we're being used up. We're being used by God. And so there's times when the devil is trying to distract us. See, nobody cares about you. You're doing all these things for people, and you're doing this and this, and you're.
Mm-hmm.
But do people do that to you? That's just Satan just trying to mess with you. But yeah, he will try to use your mind. It starts in the mind, and so that's why sometimes I have to get on my knees and say, God, thank you so much, because then I get this song talks about. But someone is worse off than you. So I'm going to praise them. So absolutely. I don't live a every day is sunny life, you know. I don't live a because we are servants of the Lord. So if he's gonna suffer, so are we.
Let me say this, and I brought that up, you know, because, I mean, I've had moments like that, and for a split second I had that earlier today. But I'm running across people who are super saints, super saved. Nothing ever goes wrong. If they open their mouth, everything sounds like it's, you know, I mean, hello, do I need to remind you of a man who is after God's own heart? When you go into the Psalms and read some of the stuff that David wrote, David expressed himself in so many different ways. And all I'm trying to do here right now is share with, there's somebody out there listening to us that's hurting, on the verge of suicide. They just don't want to put up with it anymore. They have had enough with life. They're just tired. They don't want to do this anymore. They get up. It's a struggle. It's a hustle. You got to be on point here and on point there. And seems like they take two steps to only get knocked back three, and they're back right back at square one. They get something halfway in order, and then the next thing you know, it starts falling apart. They pay off all their credit cards, and then a week later, the same credit cards that they just got finished paying off are now burnt out at the max. They're behind in their rent. They're behind in their car note, and it just feels like any minute they're going to run out in front of a car and just off themselves. There are people listening to us that are like that, and I'm bringing this up today when I say, what does 2022 look like for you? It looks like a year of servitude for me. It looks like a year of servant leadership. And to talk about it, and God had us start this year off, I'm talking about the church at Power to Stand. We are in the middle of a consecrational fast, and the theme for that fast is rededication. We're giving our lives back to him. And sometimes you have to take inventory of your life and pay attention to where you are. I know we can all sit here and say, I'm happy with where I am. No, you're not. Let me speak for me. I can't speak for you. No, I'm not happy where I am. I could be in a better position. I could do more. I could get more done. The question here is, am I willing to let go and let God? I spend too much time looking back at yesterday. I spend too much time wishing, doing the woulda, coulda, shoulda dance. Y'all know what that looks like. I would have done it. I could have done it. I should have done it. No, I can't do that dance anymore. Them shoes are worn out and I'm taking them off. If I didn't do it by now, I'm probably not going to do it later either. So why don't I just work with what I have in front of me, and why don't I just press for the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus? Too many of us are driving our lives looking in our rear view mirrors. You can't see much. Your rear view mirror is a limited glimpse of what was or what's behind you, what used to be. Now here we got this big old windshield right here in the front of us with a big old world staring us in the face just waiting for you to come and take on the challenges, and yet we keep looking in that little itty-bitty mirror. What do you think? All you see in that little itty-bitty mirror is your eyes, the windows of your soul. And if you sit there and convince yourself that you missed the mark, that you're never going to succeed, you're never going to go anywhere, my friend, my sister, my brother, you are right. You aren't going anywhere. You're spinning your wheels, you're burning rubber, but you haven't moved a muscle. Okay? And I shared stuff with you only because of the very fact that I'm tired of being, I don't want to be on a soapbox anymore. I don't want to be on a grand stage where I got to look like $1 million. I just want to be who God called me to be. And if anybody has a problem with Ernest, I'm just going to simply tell you, get over it. 2022 is the year where I released the foolishness, let go of the closet king. I said closet king, and that don't mean I'm in the closet for anything. It means, folk, that like you said already, Apostle Whitlow, the flaws, my shortcomings, my iniquities, my workings, anything that doesn't line up, match up, or come to fruition in the eyesight of Almighty God, it's all got to be on the table. I'm at the point now, I got to lay the cards on the table. I don't know how much longer the Lord's going to allow me to live. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know what the rest of this week holds. What I do know is here and now, I need to be the best version of myself as I move forward in the things pertaining to God. Pastor Henderson, you're sitting there awful quiet. I guess you must have be a goody two-shoe that has no problems whatsoever.
No, that is not the case. Amen. I'm just sitting here listening. Amen. I was thinking, we're all marred vessels. You know, that God has called out of the darkness into the marvelous light, and that, mm-hmm. you know, he created us for his glory. So even in our marred vessels, even in our inadequacies and our, you know, deficiencies and et cetera, you know, God uses those things for his glory. He doesn't want us to become overwhelmed or over magnifying the weakness, but to magnify him in the midst of it. In reality is that we all sometimes may feel surrounded. We all may feel this way or that way, as you were talking about, anyone may be listening, amen, that may have challenges of their highs and lows and ups and downs, but in the midst of it all, to know that God has a purpose for the pain, for the disappointment, for the sadness, for the inability, you know, because it causes us to have to trust him and not ourselves. I think when you were talking earlier about, you know, the closet thing, I think that it goes back sometimes to teaching because, you know, coming up, you know, you're here, you know, no matter what's going on, you still want to present yourself, you know, even if you have that one pair of shoes, you know, you hear the old saints say how they had one pair of shoes and they had to walk miles to church. But that one pair of shoes would make sure that they were really clean and shined up, you know, knowing maybe the hole at the bottom of the shoe. But they made sure mm-hmm. that they presented the best self that they could, you know, with their shoes shine and their clothes clean, and they try to present the best suit because maybe that was all they had was that one pair or shirt that was passed down. But the teaching was, no matter what you have, to always recognize that, to be thankful for what you have and to present yourself to be the best that you could be. Not that you were trying to be any more than anyone else. I think it was that they wanted you to keep the mindset that what you had on or what it may have looked like on the outside was not who you were on the inside. And I think that even though we have challenges, you know, internally and externally, we must always recognize that God is still God, that God uses the challenges, the different things that we have gone through, that it may help somebody else. The reality is that we never have a problem. How can you really help somebody else? You know, pain is pain. So if you've gone through pain, if you've gone through rejection, if you've gone through this or that, you ought to be able to help somebody else who has is experiencing that. So being able to take the situations that we feel, not magnifying them, but to recognize that in that time of weakness, or in that time of coming to the light and saying, okay, this is how I really feel, okay, yeah, this is how you really feel. But God is bigger than this feeling right now. God is bigger than this feeling of despondent. Because he can fill that place with joy. He can fill that place with peace. He can cause you to overcome in that area so that when you get another place in him, you'll be able to help somebody else along the way. So I think that, you know, it would not even be the truth is that we're all mere vessels, you know. We all have marks. We all have scars from life. We all have our marred vessel. But what God does is that he uses that marred vessel on a cracked pot to water somebody else's life. So we're not magnified as crack. But what we do is we allow him to water someone else's life with our cracks and our flaws.
Wow. I feel better already. Anybody out? Anybody out? Anything else anybody want to add to that? See, we're going to do a slight variation of our show tonight. We're not going to go the hour and a half. We're only going to go to the top of the hour. And we got about 5 minutes left. I mean, it's not that I don't want to do the show. It's just, folks, I'm just having one of those moments. And I share my day with you. Can I share my day with you? And I'm not, in no way am I trying to be negative. I just want to share my day with you. Started out beautiful this morning. I made it to my place up in Connecticut and made my delivery and got my assignment to come down to Jersey to pick up so I can come down to Richmond and drop off. On the way home, I was supposed to stop home and have time to, you know, have about 3 or 4 hours to have time to settle myself so that I could share a word with the Morning Star Church. On my way down, the refrigerator, I'm carrying a refrigerated unit, you know, or the freezer part, broke down and stopped working. I'm sitting here with over $100,000 worth of product on this, and if I don't figure out how to get this refrigerator started and get that motor running so we can keep this stuff on ice, the insurance from this company is going to have to pay the shippers over $100,000. Now, it got me a bit concerned. I usually don't get concerned because usually it's not, you know, it's kind of cool outside, but this is the type of product that once it reaches somewhere between 15 to 20 degrees, it'll start, because it has yeast in it. As it softens up, it'll start expanding. Y'all know what this truck would have looked like if all that product had expanded? The truck would literally look pregnant. I promise you. But anyway, the bottom line is it took a minute to get ready to do it. And in the process, I made a couple of phone calls to a couple of friends. And here's something that I learned, and I shared this in Bible study. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2, I know the first one says, cast your bread upon the water, for in many days it shall return unto you. You know, I like verse 2. It says, give a portion unto seven. The Amplified Classic Version says, yes, divide it even unto eight, because you don't know what evil is on the surface. The bottom line is this. In sharing or casting my bread upon the water, sharing what God has shared with me and blessing people with what God has given me, I've come to understand and I have you all. You're actually my family, but you were my friends first. And, you know, that particular passage of scripture stands out in what I'm saying because of the simple fact that I know it sounds like I don't know what I'm talking about, but I do know exactly what I'm talking about, and I'm trying to pinpoint the exact words to say what I'm about to say. But it helped me to realize and recognize that I have to learn how to invest first in myself and then in other people. And 2022 should be the year of investment for each and every one of us. Whether God uses you to minister, and see, I don't want to get caught up in the hoopla, and I'm saying the hoopla of ministry, no disrespect to anybody on this line, but we can sometimes get caught up in the glamour and the glit of preaching and ministering and sharing and things of that nature, and we fail to realize that behind the scene, there's another work that has to take place. And that work, you already mentioned it, Pastor Henderson, is the work of our own yourselves. When the scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he will exalt you, we often want to exalt ourselves. We live in a day and age where there's a whole lot of self-exaltation. You know, it's all about me. Me, 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 me. I'm so sick of hearing those me songs. I don't know what to do about it. You know, the bottom line is this. Until we come to a point and place where we say, God, not my will, but thy will be done, we're going to always have these various struggles. We're going to go through these various stresses and strains. Not that life in itself offers challenges, but we have another layer of challenges that we really don't have to face. We face them because we refuse to say, not my will, but thine be done. Thine be done. Anybody any comments on that?
Well, that becomes, again, a thing that we have to come to grips that our will never work. Only God's will work. Have to want God's will for our life. That's why I appreciate the song that Ricky Gillis put out some years ago, God's Will. I believe it might have been Orlando Draper, but then he said, God's will is what I want.
It was
for
Ricky
Gillis.
And
so that has to become the reality, that we want God's will for our life more than anything else. If we ever get to that place, great things manifest. But we have to want God's will. That's why Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will. My will be done. It's amazing that you even went this direction, because last evening, one of the things that the Lord had me to share on Facebook Live is that you can't stay here. And Jesus was in Luke, the fifth chapter, Jesus was talking to the people pressed upon him for a word from the Lord. And then he saw two ships, and nobody was in them. So he entered one of them, right? And when he was praying that Simon would push them, thrust them out a little from the land. And then all of a sudden he turned around, right? And after he stopped speaking with the people, went to Peter and to Simon and said, reach out into the deep, let down our net for a drop. Master, we have labored all night, taking in nothing. But then turns around and says, nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down our net. What I'm getting at, he had to look beyond what he had dealt with. He had to look beyond what he had endured. He had to look beyond himself. He had to look beyond his fears and his frustrations, and he had to operate in a place of faith. And this is where this is the thing that God has been wanting for centuries, for his people to operate in faith. And what I have discovered is that your understanding is in opposition to your faith. I'm going to hold there because we are past the hour.
I understand, and I appreciate you. Any final words, anybody? And I do apologize to the panel. I'm trying to collect myself right now. I really am. And I wish I could talk to you guys on a more intimate level. But just keep me in your prayers, because I'm just like, oh, I don't even know what to say. Because I can't describe what this is. And sometimes I pick up other people's spirits. And if there's somebody that's feeling like this, God, I want them delivered, because this is not good. This is just straight not, this is not me. This is not the way I operate, not the way I move, not the way God allows me to move. It's very different for me. Just a little uncomfortable, if I could say that. I ain't going to go out and do nothing crazy. It's not like I'm going to stand up in the truck while the truck is going 90 miles an hour and holler, I'm on top of the world. No, that ain't happening. I ain't that stupid. Anyway, the bottom line is I got to shake this, because I just can't. This is not me. This is not who God made me to be. This is not who God said I am. This is not what I intend to be. My 2022 shows a level of, it shows prosperity. It shows integrity. It shows diligence. My 2022 is full of love and laughter and just living the life I love and loving the life I live. I got on a thing called Clubhouse last night. And, oh, God, I had some major conversations. And there was a young man on there, and I kind of know where it is. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now I know what I need to pray for. That young man that was on Clubhouse was feeling like this, and I may be picking him up in my spirit. The thing about it is that young man was trying to find his way back to God, and we offered him every excuse under the sun why he is like he is, and we failed to pray for him. We failed to pray for him. So it's something to think about. If our 2022 is going to be a year of success and a year of prosperity and a year of abundance, let it begin with us desiring that for others first and foremost. And even as I said that, that feeling that I had is leaving me, even now, believe it or not. As we speak, it's leaving me. I feel better about myself. We can go a little further if y'all want to. I was going to cut the show short, but you know what? We ain't got but about 15 minutes left. Is that right, Dr. Kimmy? You know, we got about 25 minutes left. We can go to the quarter past the hour. I think I'm going to be all right. I'll start. Well,
we got
you know
as
me.
Much as you want.
Don't tell me that. We'll be here all night. But listen. Sometimes you're going to run across people who are going through mental, emotional, and in some cases physical stresses. And I use the word stress because, you know, they may not be they're damaged. They're still to the place and point where they have a level of sanity about them. So how do we deal with that kind of person? Anybody want to take a crack at it?
Well, you did the best thing. You pray for them because we're not God. God heals. And we must also show compassion towards him and no condemnation or anyone that you're, you know, you're speaking to or ministering to, because I would just listen because I don't know what they have gone through. They know what they have gone through. And sometimes people just need to get things off of their chest because no one is listening to them, but they're giving them all types of advice of what they're doing wrong. Sometimes people just want to let it out, you know, because they have no one to confide in. And so when they find someone who they can confide in, they can start, you know, healing, because that's why God said we need each other. That's why he said to love on each other. And love is a beautiful language in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's not puffed up. It doesn't want its own way. It's compromising. It's kind. It's meek. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, it's the first fruit is love. You can't have joy and peace without love, because God said he is love. So we must focus on the love and the meanings behind love, because it was a reason why Paul, he said love is the greatest of them, of the three things, which is charity, faith, and hope. And you need faith to please God, and you need hope to build up on your faith. But without love, both of those are in vain. I mean, that is how important love is. And that is what the world is missing. They're missing love, because love tears down strongholds. Love will cover the multitude of sins. It covers the remaining eight of the commandments when you love God and you love others. So that would be my input. And we do have Chanel on as well.
Sister Chanel, how are you, dear heart?
I'm good. I came in late.
That's all right. What did you catch so far?
Probably like the last bit of what you guys was talking about. I did hear what you were talking about what happened with the truck, and you allowed somebody else's spirit to change your
demeanor,
your emotions at a particular point, and now you realize why it changed you.
Well,
because
you know, sometimes
you take on other people's
yes, their burden.
Yes.
Although we want to help, we can't be them, and they most certainly cannot be us. And
right.
I don't want to make it sound like I'm here and everybody else is below me. That ain't the case. I know better.
Mm-hmm.
I know better. I mean, I want to help you, but for me to take on your spirit, how do I know you don't have a suicide spirit? I don't want to take that on. I do not want to take on your little suicide, because I ain't trying to throw me off a building at no point in time. I'm not even trying to bungee jump off a building.
Uh-huh.
You got some crazy folks that would do that. But it's something to think about. You know, we experience so many things in life, and through every ounce of it. I mean, I like what David writes in the 139th Psalms. If I make my bed in the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. I mean, he asked the question, Lord, whither shall I go? Where am I going that your spirit's not going to be there?
Right.
Where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking that for me personally, because where am I going, Lord, that you're not going to already be there? I keep forgetting the fact that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I keep forgetting the fact that he said he would never leave me, neither would he forsake me, that he would always be with me, even unto the ends of the world. Why is it that my memory fails me in these areas when it comes down to the things pertaining to God? And I have to look at Ernest and give Ernest one in one, because in my moment of self-pity, the enemy tries to block off anything that would remind me of what my Father in heaven said about me. That's what happens to me. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Let me go around the table one more time. Anybody else got any other comments? We've been having an open discussion, folk, about a variety of things, and we've been talking about what does your 2022 look like for you. And I mean, I so appreciate you guys sharing your heart and your experience and the different things. I just really, really, really want to get a meat and potatoes discussion going. And here's what I am going to do. I'm not going to do it tonight. I thought to do it tonight. I still may do it tonight. So if any of you are up later on this evening, check Clubhouse. I'm going to open up a room called the Pastor's Corner. And I don't have a specific topic of discussion, but I would invite each of you to come into the room if you got some time, because the truth of the matter is there's a lot of raw talk that takes place on this radio show and on this podcast, and not just this one, some of the other podcasts that we have. But I'm finding that same level of raw talk on the Clubhouse app. And I'm finding that people are hurting. People are really trying to reach out, because there are people looking for a better way, something in life that's going to put them back on track. You know, I mean, all of us are like that. Every last one of us, we're looking for the best. And only in the middle of whatever it is that we're dealing with, God's going to bring the best out in each of us. Apostle Whitlow, can I get I want you to have the final say in benediction, so you hold on for a minute. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, any final words before we call it a night? Go ahead.
I just want to say that I keep my phone muted to keep the feedback. But I just want to say that I understand what you're saying about, you don't understand the suicidal, and that's why it's good to just listen to them, because we don't know what they're feeling, and they don't know what we're feeling. But we're not called to save lives. We're called to just love on people. Only God saves. We're called to just be used by him, and being used by him just means basically showing compassion towards one another. I mean, one thing I love about Jesus is how he did minister to people. I'm still reminded about the woman at the well. That is one of my stories, one of my favorite stories from him when he ministered. He already knew her story, but, you know, he had compassion towards her. He didn't condemn her with having five husbands and she's at the well for a man who is not her husband. I mean, he just had a conversation. And that's what sometimes people want, a conversation to have with someone who's not going to just bring the Bible. We've got to first meet people where they are before we can bring the gospel. If someone is hungry, bring them food. If they need to talk, listen. If they need food or clothes, you know, you gotta provide before you can really get to them, because it's called a relationship. And that is why God calls us to have a relationship with him, so we would know how to minister to others. And so keep on doing what you're doing, because we're not called to save people. We're called just to minister and love on them. But by all means, I'm sure he is seeking help, because, you know, he don't want to feel that way. But if that's all you know, known all your life, and no one is helping you, that's what you know. And that's why I know that God can change anybody who wants to be changed. And that's why we're called to be his vessel, his disciples, his evangelists. I mean, we are called to spread. I mean, the titles of apostle and bishop and pastor are important, but you must be the first, which is, you must be an evangelist. I mean, everyone is called to be an evangelist, and that is just going out and getting people out of the, you know, darkness and bringing them into the marvelous light. And so with that being said, continue on doing what you're doing on Clubhouse. There are times I can't come because you need an iPhone, but eventually when I, you know, I will be back on. They changed it. You do need an iPhone.
It. You can go. No, you can go to the Google Store now.
Oh, okay.
And you
well,
can download it. You can download it.
Okay, cool. Cool. Okay, so I'll
you're the one that
introduced.
Yeah, you can. You
yeah,
don't need an iPhone.
Because
you
I
can
have
do
an iPhone.
It.
Right. Right.
Well, you can do it from an Android as well.
Okay, now they changed
the
it. Okay, last
store.
Year. Yeah. Right, but last year, like I said, was just for Apple, so that's good to know. Okay.
Well,
but,
see,
yeah,
I'm going to show you something. God has a way of making it happen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anyway, Pastor Henderson.
Amen.
Hi.
Hi. Amen.
How are you? I love
yes.
it at you. I love messing with Pastor Henderson. She is just so sweet, so super sweet. Go ahead, sis. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about what Dr. Kimmy Kim has said. And, you know, the greatest call that we could ever have is the call to be a servant. So, you know, as we navigate in this new year, you know, I think we should all just strive to be the best servant that we can be for the Lord, and to be his hands and his eyes and his ears, and to reach out as he has reached out and as he has reached out to us. And sometimes what that may look like, that it may be inconvenient, and it may even make you feel inconvenient. And but in the midst of doing that, God will be glorified. I was thinking about what you were saying about how you were feeling. And, you know, as intercessors, oftentimes we do carry on burdens. And sometimes we do not always understand what we're feeling or why we're feeling what we're feeling. But as we begin to first for this prayer, God begins to lift that burden. And sometimes we may even realize that burden is about. And Jesus kept our time in the service, you know, in prayer. Sometimes God will have us to be in that place. We are that intercessor who is birthing someone through in prayer. And so that's a part of that servant too. So as we go forward in this new year, let's continue just to strive to be God's servant and to fulfill his will. And as we do, that God will have us to do, that God will take care of everything else that pertains to our life. Everything else that we're concerned about, I really believe that God is already in the plan. And so the scripture says all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. And so we thank and praise God, amen, that he has a good plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11 lets us know the plans he has for us are good and not evil, to give us a hope for the future. So I believe that this year is going to be a great year, and it's going to be a year where we will see God really just pull us into areas out of ourselves and to do great and mighty things for his kingdom in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. I don't want to forget you, Miss Chanel. So do you want to jump in there, chime in real quick? Because, I mean, as I'm going to have Apostle Whitlow do the final say in the benediction. Anything you want to add?
No, I think they pretty much said it all. I think we do have to, like you, we are here to help people. But again, we can't help. We are not God, and we can't help. And we can't do it on our own. It's a community of people. So if you know someone that needs help, if you need help, you have to ask for help. And I think what happened with you and the young man, he was actually asking for help.
He was.
And even though y'all, you know, you guys were listening and everything, it's always good, like, you know, like, you want to minister, but sometimes it's just that you just have to listen. That's one of the biggest things I think a lot of people don't realize. They just want to help. I just want to help. I just want to give you a solution. Sometimes it's about just listening. And then after you listen, just like you said, like prayer, that's another thing. And it probably took you a while to come to yourself because, just like you said, it had been got on you and you didn't know exactly what it was. But that's because the enemy didn't want you to know what it was at that moment.
I'm going to let that hold right there. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I'm acting up now. All right, Apostle Whitlow, I'm not even going to give a close because I'm going to just turn it over to you, my brother. I've trusted you for the last 7 years to handle the pastor's corner. And I really, so I want to say this in public, you have no idea how much I sincerely appreciate you, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, everybody for that matter, but you in particular, because in my most down moments, you've been right there with your little craziness and your little crazy little jokes and all that little foolishness. And sometimes, you know, I know some people said that we have to avoid or we ought to avoid coarse jesting. But, my brother, there are points in times when you, at the wrong time, you say the right thing, and it just makes my heart so happy and so glad. You crazy, and I love you for it. Come on, sir.
Absolutely resent that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not crazy. I'm special at certain times of the year. Hallelujah. But you know, I tell you, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to the Lord that we are able to share with each other at any given time, whether it's through a phone call, a text message, or something. I'm grateful that we have that opportunity and that ability, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be on these podcasts with you. It's because of you that I'm here. And it's because of your efforts that I have my own podcast. And so I'm grateful in a number of ways. There are things that you help me with that people don't know. But you're really a good big brother in a number of ways. And I couldn't have asked for anything better or anyone better to be in my life. That's saying that. Before we go tonight, I want to offer Christ to someone who may be listening. And they're saying, I want a relationship with the Lord, but I've never invited him into my life. Well, let me explain this to you. You do need to acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you are in need of a Savior. Then you need to believe in your heart that God has raised him, our Savior, from the dead. Finally, you need to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Bible says if you do these things and call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. So I want you to pray this simple prayer with me. Say, Lord God, you are our Father, and I desire to be one of yours. So forgive me of all. I believe in my heart that you raised your Son, Jesus the Christ, from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that he is Lord. Now, Lord, be Lord in my life. Use me for your purpose, and I will gladly serve you for the rest of my life. Then, Father, fill me with your Holy Ghost, that I may have power to live in this day and time. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the body of Christ. We receive you with open arms, and I want you to know that you are now covered by the grace and the mercies and the compassion of God. And I'm going to tell you, it may not be an easy transition to live for the Lord, but this is where your help comes in. You need to find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church assembly that you may gather with the other believers, that you may receive strength, and that you may be discipled in the Word of God to become who God would have you become. Because whether you know it or not, there is a gift in you that is waiting to be activated. And if you get into the right place, it will happen. Now, you might be saying, well, you're in Georgia, and I'm not in Georgia. I'm over here in somewhere in Tennessee, or I'm somewhere in Indiana, or I'm somewhere in Colorado. I want you to know we have connections throughout the globe, and we will gladly help you to locate a ministry that will be beneficial to you. All we ask that you do is reach out to us on Facebook, The Pastor's Corner, and I guarantee you, or you can reach out to the page Power to Stand, or you can reach out to Elder Ernest E. Richard Jr. You can reach out to Apostle I.A. Whitlow. You can reach out to help you to get into the right place that God would have you to do. Thank you tonight for joining us at the corner, and we want to invite you to join us again next week on the Thursday, next Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, and it's very important because it will be Ladies Night. They're going to have a great discussion. They're going to share some things from the Word of God, and they will as well lead people to Christ. That's what we're here to do. That's what we believe, and that's why God has anointed us. So we invite you to join in next week. In the meantime, if you're up this Saturday night at 10 p.m. At Eastern, we want you to join Making Marriage Meaningful with yours truly. We are currently in a discussion, Let's Stay Together. I promise you, there'll be something that'll be helpful for you in your relationship pertaining to your marriage or your engagement on your way to your marriage, or even if you're dealing with a divorce, we still want to help you to get through so you can make it to the next place in your life. All right? Wanted you to know that we love you, we're praying for you, and we want you to have an amazing night. And I'll say this, and Dr. Kenny, I want you to get ready with tonight's closing music. I want to say go with God, and he will go with you. Good night. Shalom. Peace out. Till next time. Dr. Kenny, that track.
My sinful ways have caused you so much pain. Doing things you told me not to do. Lord, I need a healing touch from you.
I wonder if there's any more.